Now, friends, we come today to this second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. Now, some time ago, we went through the first epistle. And that epistle was a very important one, as we made it very clear at that time, that it dealt actually with the church. If we didn't have that epistle, actually, we'd not know very much about church government. We'd not know very much about how the church is to conduct itself in the world. But now we come to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. And I want to say some things by way of introduction today. First of all, let me confess very frankly that I do not feel up to it for this epistle. I said that same thing in Romans, but I say it in 2 Corinthians here. I find myself in this epistle dealing with things that only the Spirit of God can make real to us. And I have spent more time in preparation to give this series on the radio than any book of the Bible that we've come to so far in the five-year program. I have not only spent more time with this epistle, studying it afresh and anew, but the more I studied, the less I found out I knew about this epistle. And I wondered why I had not preached on it more. And I wondered why there were not more sermons on this epistle. Oh, I preached on it some, but it hasn't been given by the church the attention that it should have. Now, what we have in this epistle is, to my judgment, that which is rather difficult. I want to give you a statement that I have in our notes and outlines of this epistle, and I trust that you do have the notes and outlines for 2 Corinthians. And this is the statement that we want to make. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians shortly after he wrote 1 Corinthians. He had written 1 Corinthians from Ephesus, and he was engaged in a great ministry there, as he says, a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Well, Paul had, I believe, his greatest ministry in Asia Minor, Ephesus being the springboard and the sounding board for the gospel. And I believe that probably the gospel covered that area in a more effective manner than it ever has in any other place at any other time. And that's what Paul meant, a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Now, because of that, he couldn't leave that ministry and go over to Corinth, where that baby church he'd started over there filled with carnal Christians, carnal Corinthians, babes in Christ. They wanted Paul to come. They wanted attention. They wanted food. And they wanted a change, too, of garments. They were all wet, if you please. And they were crying like a baby would cry. And Paul couldn't come. And they were a little miffed and hurt by it. And so Paul wrote that first letter and told them that he would be coming later. He didn't come later. And they were still disturbed. And Titus came back and brought him word. And Paul, by that time, had left Ephesus proper. He'd gone on up to Troas. Well, let me read 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. He says here, verse 12, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." Now, when he went over to Macedonia, that is, to Philippi, why, Titus, whom he had sent to Corinth in his place, came and brought him word about the answers to some of the things that Paul had told them to do, were they doing them. And therefore, Paul sat down and wrote this second epistle. And this is the one that we have here. Now, they were still miffed. They wanted the great apostle to come and be with them. And here is where Paul actually opens his heart in a very wonderful way. To tell the truth, we find Paul here just letting us probably come to know him better personally than in any other place. Now, I want to continue to read to you what I've put in my notes. I've got away from it there for a moment. And the news, by the way, though, that Titus brought was good news. And any breach that had been between Paul and the Corinthian church was healed. Now, I'm reading. This epistle is difficult to outline, as it is less organized than any of Paul's letters. But it contains more personal details. In each chapter, there's always a minor theme developed, which sometimes seems to take the place of the major theme, and is generally expressed in some striking verse. This may explain the seeming difficulty in outlining and organizing this epistle. We'll note this as we consider each chapter. Now, I want to just give briefly to you the outline that we have of this epistle, because I think that's very important for us to see. In the first seven chapters, we have the comfort of God. And this is one of the most important for you and me, for it has to do with Christian living right where you and I are located today. Then wedged in this epistle are two chapters that seem extraneous, but they're not. And having talked about the comfort of God, he talks about the collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. And the minute you mention a collection, well, that's not a comfort to a lot of the saints. And here you do not have Christian living, but Christian giving. And then in chapters 10 through 13, believe me, Paul becomes very personal, and you have the calling of the Apostle Paul. And here is Christian guarding. Christian living, Christian giving, Christian guarding. Now, this is very important. In the first two verses, we have an introduction. And then, well, the rest of chapter 1, we have God's comfort for life's plan.